Kia ora, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Music, Movies and Madness. Tonight, it's David and I. G'day, David.
Hey, mate. How are you?
Good, good, good. And we've got a special guest on, live from Wellington. We've got Louis Reed joining us. G'day, Louis.
Good afternoon. How are you?
We're really well. Good, thanks. And I met Louis at my local coffee establishment, Coffee Supreme. So shout out to Coffee Supreme, Midland Park, to all the peeps there.
Nice.
Shout out.
Yeah. Oh, they're good people down there. And then Louis and I were chatting one day about, hey, something came up, hey, Louis. And we're like, oh, you've got a podcast. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we're just, I know we're talking about the fact that Ian, one of our hosts, he's just put out an album out called Shadowbox. And Martin's just put out his second EP, They Walk Among Us. And Louis was like, hey, I'm just about ready to release an EP. And I said, well, why don't you come on, have a chat?
No, it was we were kind of just surreal. Kind of told me that you were doing a podcast and we're going to want to get local people on. So I was kind of like, yeah, I'd love to be able to chat about it and kind of talk about the process. I feel like from an upcoming artist kind of thing, just being able to do something like this is really good.
Sweet. What's the EP called?
So the title of the EP is called House of Jazz.
House of Jazz. And that's not the working title. That's going to be the official release title.
Yeah, that's set in stone.
So before we get into the questions, what track do you reckon we should start with to have a little bit of a listen to get into the House of Jazz?
I mean, I kind of set it for the opening song for me. I feel like that kind of sets the tone really well. Mm-hmm. Doesn't take itself too seriously, which is the whole kind of idea of the album for me, really. EP.
Nice, yeah. One. All right, here's a bit of Fool. This is the single, wasn't it? That was the precursor.
Yes, this was the one, was February 10th, actually, this year it came out.
Fantastic. All right, here's a little bit of Fool, ladies and gentlemen. Older Fool. Yes, maybe that's probably what I can be called from time to time.
Yeah.
So, Louis, how did you get into making music and where did this musical journey begin for you?
I would say it kind of started pretty young. I was originally born in the UK and spent quite a lot of my younger years there and lived quite a long time with my godfather, who was a kind of classical artist, an old folk player. In a English countryside kind of town, had his own little gig that he'd set up every Saturday night where people would come through and a bunch of different bands would play and they'd do local events and everything like that. And it was just a full night of it, the way they'd hire out a bar. I used to live kind of like for that nightlife and that like live shows and stuff like that and the music scene, which got me really like kind of invested in just music in general at a young age.
What town was that?
That was down south in Bournemouth in UK, in the United
Kingdom.
Yeah.
Nice.
So nice. It was kind of like that. And then I moved into high school and got into actually like having the facilities at my high school to be able to get into a recording studio and started producing my own music. So I would say I was probably maybe 17, 18, started doing that stuff in high school.
What was the genres that you were, that attracted you back then to the studio?
Back then, it was actually surprisingly a lot of rock, like heavy metal, 80s, 90s kind of like themed stuff. I was just loving from probably more of the live recording aspects of it for me. Was like a massive, just this is something really cool. I want to kind of carry on doing it. Surprisingly, coming to university, that kind of swapped pretty quickly. I'd say the music that I was producing, working through, was a lot more kind of like R&B, hip hop, soul type things. And that's probably what you're probably seeing a lot of my earlier work from my first album.
So when did you move out to New Zealand and start how did you make connections here in Wellington, etc., to begin the journey? What's the first album made here?
First album was done here in Wellington. It was a university project. It was my final year, final big project. I had set myself 6 months to kind of just stay in a recording studio and play around with what I had available, really. Like gear that I could hire out, gear that I could get off people that I know, artists that I could get in the studio that I know, just using the facilities as much as I could for 6 months. And that was actually just a really good project to kind of like flush out a bunch of ideas that I'd had in my head, and definitely felt like a standard throughout the whole album was like met that I wanted to keep from like an audio engineering standpoint, which I was very proud of and like still kind of am.
Yeah, that track we just listened to then, the production on that is top notch, right? I mean, that's crystal clear. The syncopation in there, the layers of, that you just have things going on in the background that you need to really pay attention to sort of bring to the surface, but is there. It's quite hypnotic in some ways. But then there was some nice little. Oh, what would you say? It was that syncopation, but it was also sort of out of step. Some of those offbeats were really a little bit. This took me by surprise. I thought it was quite clever. Was it all electronic, or like the horns on that? Was that any of that acoustic, or is it all electronic?
So I was the can take you basically into the skip ahead a little bit. The beginning of this project was kind of like came together the in February last year. I was in my final semester of studying, and I was available to have access of the studios within my university. And while having this access, I knew of a group of classical artists, partially some being from my high school, who are just looking to get time in the studio to be able to record certain melodies, ideas, within groups, together, alone. And I would put my hand up and said that I had this options to be able to use these facilities and we could go here. So we spent a week in a studio recording, I want to say around 46 hours worth of not just jazz, but like all sorts of instruments. We had a trombone, saxophone, clarinet, some cellos in there, a harp. It was a really like, so it's anything you can think of, really. It was an amazing project. And so
Brilliant.
for them, it was for them being able to get a recording from a studio and then take it and work on it for themselves. That was projects for them. And I was available to keep the recordings, basically. And so over the past, what's that, 13 months now, I've been working with it. And I wasn't really a massive, I loved house music, but I think I've learned to love it more working on this project.
So
well, 'cause,
where did the house bit come from? You're just saying that,
yeah.
oh, yeah, wasn't quite into it, but then suddenly it sort of, how did it,
It
why
kind
did
of
ha
crept
how
up.
why did house and jazz fit together nicely?
For me, I recorded this project and I moved in with DJ, and it kind of just worked. He was playing all of this house music a lot of the time. I was surrounded by a lot of people, and I tended myself to listen to it more. And the original idea for some of the recordings was to then take it into an R&B, hip hop, soul, and I have been able to do that with some of the recordings, so that might be later on. But it came to me in the sense that I had all of these recordings. I was surrounded by house music. I learned to fall in love with it. There were certain artists that were, for me, were just like very inspirational from an audio producing standpoint. I can name a couple, like Kate Shinoda or even Fred again, which is massive. It, for me, it's the production side. As you were saying before, the production of like hearing certain things in the background, like sitting there and kind of fine tuning that thing out, being like, oh, I can hear that high melody he's got there, or the type of snare he's using, or something like that. That's something that I look for in music that I listen to. And I think I found that more and more within the house music from the artists that I was listening to. And it revolved over the year, basically. And so it's kind of what has come out of it now. And I hope to carry on doing house music. I obviously kind of like planning to maybe try and do an event to this music. I think doing a DJ set or something like that is the best way for me to kind of publicize it.
Yeah, that next step, which is take that and play it live somehow, and then they have all the improvisation that would take it from a 2.5 minute track to more probably 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah,
that would be pretty cool. That would be quite special. I always really like the idea of sort of when you've got real live musicians playing along with DJs and things like that. I remember seeing The Roots and that sort of hip hop with instruments as opposed to just a DJ and an MC. And that's quite magical to watch, that sort of combination when it's all sort of coming together. And it's quite, I don't know, that's pretty choice.
Definitely, yeah.
Shall we have another and listen to another track? Perhaps maybe even a jazz interlude, and then move into how you put all these songs together. Where do you begin, and how do you sort of layer them up? So, why don't I play a little track called Jazz Interlude? It seems like a reasonably good place to start, and we'll go from there. So how do you start putting all this together? What tools do you use? And you had some recordings, and then how do you sort of put it all together to get that?
So the program I use a DAW called Ableton Live. I've gone through them all. I started in high school. We were using Apple Macs, so we were on Pro Tools. Wasn't my thing. Not Pro Tools. What was it on? It's a very expensive one. Yeah. So I started off with that, and then I went into Pro Tools for university. And that whole time, I've had Ableton as a personal one. Through the doors that I've used, and for me, it's just Ableton's worked with my workflow. I find I'm a lot more, especially with this project as well, I'm a lot more about chopping and chewing what audio files I'm working with, being able to have that access of an automation system that I can just bring up in a completely different window. From learning the hotkeys off by heart now, I've kind of got I've got that all pat down for me. So being able to work with that, and then plugins are the easiest thing for me, especially working with a lot of EQ kind of stuff. from the live recordings has been like an absolute dream come true for me. So it works in a sense. It's not a like a set workflow, I would say. It's a lot more kind of like, let's see what this is like. trial and error a lot of the times. I kind of like enjoy playing around. I do a lot of MIDI stuff as well. So a lot of like the beats, and the perfect example was the song that you just heard before. All those drums were MIDI. Just me listening to that live recording, playing around with it on a keyboard. So I really appreciate that kind of just like feel of how it is.
So do you play an instrument yourself, or have you got some things that you go to, or have you? You strike me as kind of quite a producer or a studio sort of whiz.
Yeah, so I'm very much more of a studio whiz artist, a con artist in a dark room, you should say. No, I've played guitar in the past. I've done a little bit of drums. I did violin. But at the moment, for me, I kind of don't see myself pursuing any of them. I love a lot more of the recording side of things. I do appreciate working with people. That's always a lovely and appreciative thing for me. I've worked on a couple of albums as an audio producer, where it's been a very interesting process of like, but enjoyable, of not being the lead on the project and kind of like listening to the person and what they want and how they want it to sound and everything like that. So it was an amazing project that we did for 6.5 months, and it's finished, but he's still got the files and it's not really ever uploaded them anywhere, unfortunately. I'd love for it to be out, but
And so do you read and write music? Just
I
because you
can
described
read
before about
music.
grabbing the you had access to a whole lot of classical players. Over a year ago, you recorded 40 something like 46 hours worth of material of with them. But how did you then know how to sort of stitch that together into something? I mean, did you have the same melody sort of threading through like the last 13 months, and you were kind of, because presumably it's a little bit like sampling, like you've got bits and pieces that you can kind of bring in. But how do you stitch that all together when over such a prolonged period of time? If I assume that you wrote music or you read music, because I couldn't imagine how else you might do that. That'd be incredibly tough.
I do read music. I'm not the best at obviously writing for especially classical artists. Like, that was for me the whole idea of the project, was that I didn't want to stand in the way of them. I just wanted to give them the access of the recording studio for them to be able to record. I think I like out of the 7 days that we were in there, I want to say a good solid 4.5, I did not put a single word into what that they were doing. They were like, "Oh, let's do this. I've got this in my head. Can you bounce off of me and we can do this?" So it was really authentic, which is what I loved about the process. And then in the last couple of days, I kind of, yeah, like you say, I stood in and was like, "Got this idea if you kind of like keep doing this pattern." So I'd get them to like do short recordings. So, because yes, like you say, for me to be then easily sample them and kind of mash it all together to be this coexisting thing that was from 30 different recordings. And so that's kind of when then I play around with some ideas that I had in my head, or I would spend a lot of time out of the studio just listening to them, those recordings, and then kind of like mixing them together, even when we were still in the recording process. Because then I'd show them it the next day and they'd come back to me and be like, "That's a cool melody. I'll actually record, I can record that."
Brilliant. I mean,
So it
it
was
sort of
kind
comes
of like
across.
evolving and it was kind of evolving as it was like being recorded. And I think that's what was the like the really amazing part about it all.
Fantastic. Have they heard some of the tricks?
So
Can
that's the other thing as well. Having five, so it was five or six of us.
yeah.
For most of the days it was six. For the last couple of ones it was only five. But having classical music artists to be able to then go back to and be like, "Does this sound okay?" Like, I think that's something that's like made this project better than it could have been. A lot of the stuff that I've done in the past, I've kind of like tried to do it myself, how I think it should sound.
Yeah.
Which still sounds good and I'm happy with it and everything like that. But yeah, having those people to be able to go back to and reference, and who know what they're looking for when they sound for like listen to things, has been like an amazing kind of
And
help,
what's the feedback been like from them? Like,
it's been very constructive.
yeah, can they pick up? Okay, they can go, oh, that's how you use that, or that's me. That's where that's come in. I like what you did with that. I would never have put that there or thought about doing that.
Yeah, there's a couple of times where like a bass will be like, well, you put that with that melody, and it's like,
Yeah.
yeah, but it works. And
That's
they're like,
right.
yeah, okay, I agree with you, but I wouldn't have thought of it. So they have gotten surprised a couple of times as well, being like, oh, I forgot I did that recording. Like, so no,
Cool.
it was really cool seeing their kind of appreciation of it as well.
Fantastic. So one of the big recordings on the album is called Full House. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that track before we start playing it?
Yeah, so that was actually the first track I did. That was the first track I finished. And that one was, I think, a lot more aimed towards just being a house song. I kind of, that was like my beginning of appreciation for like house and what it was and everything like that. And being able to bring that jazz element in there was a really nice touch. I think that kind of set this tone of what I wanted this project to be like. Definitely, like I finished that and was able to take it back to the group of the guys, and they were like, this is something cool, like keep doing like this. So I think if this was any different, the project could have been pretty greatly different.
Cool. All right, here's house, a full house.
If that doesn't get you up and about, nothing will. That's groovy, eh? Oh, I like that a lot. Yeah, funky, man. Like 1978 baked into it. Yep. I love
Yeah,
that. Is that a
that's cool.
sax? Is that a sax you got? What?
Yeah, that was a saxophone. That was a full day we had of just this
Wow.
guy in the studio for, and I didn't want anybody else in there with him. I kind of like just let him have like 2 or 3 hours of him sitting there, and it was a really cool recording.
Yeah.
So they're not actually necessarily all playing together at all in this. So that's kind of like the
That's the
wizardry.
genius. Yeah, that's the
Yeah.
genius of it all. That whole stitching it together to sound, real. Like, they're sitting there playing to you, right? And they might have a, there's an electronic backbeat going on and that, but you got the musicians there playing, real instruments over top of it. But the fact that they did this separately 13 months before it was produced, I reckon is brilliant. It's just, I mean,
That's wizard.
the challenges with that,
Yeah.
I just can't even. Where would you be? What were some of the biggest challenges in terms of doing that? I mean,
I definitely think like bringing it all together. I definitely like, because what you think as well, a lot of the recordings that I'd done, because they were so long ago, they were set in stone with what notes they were, with what keys they were playing through. And
that's
so
right.
I'm sitting here trying to figure out how I can get a melody that's in the same key, that's following the same notes and everything like that. And so that, I think, was the hardest challenge. And I had so many songs where there was recordings that would have been perfect that were a wrong melody, a wrong set of notes, and I couldn't go with what I wanted. A lot of the stuff was sampled, and so I do use a subscription-based service that I can find samples from. So a lot of the times it was scouring through those, looking at certain notes, what goes, what can I mash up to kind of give me what's the sound that I'm looking for, what's missing here a lot of the times as well. I was kind of like asking myself, like, I was hearing this from somebody else, what would I want? And a lot of reference track stuff. I probably listened to a lot more music than I'd ever had over the past like 13 months. My Spotify was pretty deep.
Well, imagine in what we call the olden days, where they'd have a bunch of session musicians and they'd do this, right? They'd go through this process. And then they'd go, oh, shit, you know, I've just got this bit that I need to fill in this and I really need this and I know what I want and here it is. Can you go and play it? And they'd get them in there and they'd play it and they'd fill it in, right? But you've kind of got the massive library of samples in that. But it's almost like a double-edged sword because that must take quite a bit of willpower to want to go in there and dive and, you know, boots and all to try and find what you're looking for. And then you've literally got an infinite amount of sort of material you could pick from. It's sort of like the tyranny of choice in some ways, right?
Yeah. I actually was very thankful. The first month after doing the recording, I was still living with a producer friend of mine. And so we spent the entire month going through the 46 hours of recording and organizing it. So we had it set dates. We had it set by hours. So we could go through and kind of like, so I have this master kind of like folder on a hard drive that is just got, it because at the end of the day, that was always the funny thing for me. My friend would say to me, it's like, you just basically created your own sample back here.
Yeah, totally.
And so it was. And I think that was also a really good mindset for me when I was kind of producing these tracks, to think of this as a sample pack. Kind of like an underground, like nobody's heard of it before. So
yeah,
I think that's what kind of helped me not care too much about it. Also the recordings, being like, oh, this is a beautiful like minute and a half recording. I can mash it up and do what I want with it. So
yeah, sounds great. Sounds brilliant. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, quite extraordinary. Okay, yeah, I didn't quite realize when I was listening to it that wasn't, there was some people in there and they came up with you and then worked on what that was. And then you put the house beat to it, but it sounds like you start with the beat first and then work out and layer it and layer it and layer it to how you need it. And then boom, there it is.
Yeah, I think it was definitely more finding the segments of what I wanted certain parts to sound like. And then going from there and adding the detailing in and kind of like messing around with it. I do want to say it was probably maybe a good month and a half where I was just, there was a couple songs I was just playing around with, just trying things. The project would have been done a lot earlier, but unfortunately I was still trying to fine tune it and play around with it. And I'm glad I did in the end. I was able to finish the jazz interlude. And kind of get that done. If I hadn't continued to work on it, it wouldn't have happened. So
the importance of collaboration. Do you want to tell us a little bit how collaborating with others either enhanced or did it help or did it hinder or what was that about? Obviously have a strong vision for it.
Yeah, it definitely enhanced. It definitely like it really brought this project to life. I think it would have just been like a random house EP that had a little bit of saxophone instruments in it. I'm kind of glad that it's not that, and it has actually become what it is, because it's definitely helped having those people with me along the way. Like there was times where I wouldn't know what I would be wanting to do next in the song, or how I could use this. I wanted, like you were saying before, Daniel, like I wanted to use a certain sample. I don't know how I could use it. So I wasn't able to get into a recording studio again after that week's session, but I was still able to contact with these people that I had done this recording with. And I think their support, I mean, some of them were amazing. Some of them were immaculate and would have applied to me within weeks of me sending them a couple of demos and where everything was. A couple of them were like really intrigued in the project as well and actually wanted to help along. One of them, one of the producers. His name was Jack Hendy. He helped me, sorry, one of the instrumentalist artists, he helped me master one of the tracks. So he got into the little bit of the producing side of things. So it was definitely a hindrance at some point, though, just because we kind of all had different ideas. And those last couple of days, we were all much like, we haven't got what we want, we haven't got what we need. And so we were stressing it out a little bit. And I was kind of like, I had ideas going into that of different melodies and different things that I had heard from projects before. I think the thing for me as well at the same time was that I had just heard a project that was a jazz house fusion EP from an artist in Europe. And it was definitely a lot of inspiration from the ideas that I'd given these guys was from this project.
So had you heard that before starting this, or was it at the same time as it came along?
It was around about that same time. It was in the same week. I kind of listened to that project and was like, this is some cool jazz. And like, I'd done some diving into it. And that was actually another recorded project that was done in London.
Oh, fabulous. I'm quite intrigued around the mastering process, because my brother's in a band called Folks. And he said actually mastering was very tricky. It's not an easy process to do. So I'll be quite intrigued to find out a little bit more. But I think we'll go into an interlude now. So perhaps maybe we get into the house interlude that you were just sort of talking about before. Here's that. For that track, there's a lot more electronic coming through, and a lot of electronic instruments or samples or whatever it is. And I quite like that sort of that harshness cutting across those sort of organic sounds. That was quite fun.
A lot of twists and turns. It's what I like. That's what I like. You get house music that just suddenly keeps the same beat and the same syncopation, and it starts to do your head in a little bit, but the fact that there's lots of little twists and turns, like I don't think you've got the same groove going for more than 30 seconds in some of those songs. It's sort of just and then it'll just slow down, pause, and then go a different direction. And I quite like that. That's quite different to a lot of sort of jazz house stuff that I've heard. All right, Louis, I have to ask, I got sent the files the other day by Glenn for your EP, and in that collection was some cover art for the album or for the EP, which looks to be like a very colourful set of doors drawn in sort of pencil stick sort of formation. Very striking, very cool, very modern. Tell me about it.
So it was kind of like a play on an idea. I never wanted this project to take itself too seriously. It wasn't really what I had intended when I first started doing all of these recordings, 13 months ago. So the whole idea was for it to be playful, fun, and very striking. So I wanted that white background, that thick border, kind of like from what the actual drawing was, which is meant to be an interpretation of a front door, or double front door into a greenhouse drawn by a kid with his colouring in pencils. And so that's where you get those jaggedy lines, those missing dots, that kind of like missing piece. But it still tells you the image. You can still pick out what it actually is.
Yeah.
Detailed on the front of each of the doors, on the left side is the title of the project written in beautiful handwriting, House of Jazz, with on the right side showing you the track list in the same font.
Mm.
Where does it say LPR on there?
It doesn't. So that was kind of like the whole idea was that it was just House of Jazz.
Gotcha. It
Yeah.
reminds me of those sort of the 80s. It's a kind of like an 80s sort of vibe in it. I remember seeing some, I don't know, it'll pop up. Listeners are able to tell me what album art had colors like this. But also the United Colors of Benetton. Back in the day, they had lots of bright colors like that too.
It looks
So it's
mo
quite funny.
it looks like it's moving. I mean, it's very
Really?
dynamic. When you look at, yeah, it just looks like it could be one of those Andy Warhol type
How long have you been up today?
great. Yeah. Well, now look at the ground. Oh, we can post this on for listeners to look at. Look at the ground. It's got the little speckly bits and pieces on the ground there, and I recognize the my neighbor's got a greenhouse, the roof you've
Oh,
done there, but the little speckly bits on the ground are so cool.
nice. I can't see them moving, but yes, they do look good.
Oh, they're totally moving in my neighborhood, mate. But you're right, it was a big day. That's what it was.
Yeah, understand.
So yeah, check out the cover art, listeners. When you get a chance, it's pretty cool, and very befitting of the EP, and minimalist but very striking, all in one. Don't quite know how you do that, but he's done it. Well done.
All right, so you've got all these tracks down. Tell me about the mastering process, because I've heard that's quite tricky.
Yeah,
Or you
it's
could
for
pro
me. Sorry, Kevin.
or is it a myth?
Yeah. It can be. It can. I don't know. I feel like some people won't agree with that answer. It can be. For me, I find it depends on the artist. A lot of people find that they fine-tune their song and can get it to what people would say is an industry standard through mastering process. I'm a bit, I would say, on the outside of the fence. I think just the mix itself should be somewhere there. The mastering process does affect what a finalized song can sound like. But I think if the mixing process of the song's not done correctly, then you're not gonna perfect it by mastering, if you kind of get what I mean. It's like building a house. You've got to have a base. Otherwise that's gonna crumble. If you have a rubbish mix and you pay somebody a lot, even if you don't pay somebody and you use it through, there's AI and websites now that can master tracks, make them sound better. Even if you use that, I think unless you have what is a good mix of a song, you won't get kind of like what you're looking for. And I think for me, that's kind of where I've found it works for my workflow as well as somebody who's finalizes on those details in the mix rather than something in the master. I have had stuff mastered by other people and I do appreciate it. And sometimes it does come back better. I've had, unfortunately, some not so great times. But I think if you trust the person and the person knows kind of like what your image is in the song as well, that's also something that's very, very important.
Fab. And so you would when is when okay, let's do the big plug. When does House of Jazz come out? Because we've
Okay,
got a bit of a
so
world exclusive sneak preview today.
we do, yes. The official release will be on Apple Music, Spotify, Tidal, wherever you kind of get your SoundCloud, where we get your music from, on April 10th, 2024. So
April 10th.
awesome.
Fantastic.
That's the date it's set in stone. Find it underneath LPR.
And that LPR is the name you go under.
Yeah, that's kind of like my artist name in a sense.
Fab.
You don't know how hard it is, Louie, finding all about you online when your namesake, Lou Reed, just
Oh yeah,
keeps coming
it
up.
doesn't really work.
It doesn't work. And I was like, wrong one, Google. Again and again and again. First, I was quite excited. I was like, gee, this guy's got a Wikipedia site. He's got like 40 million followers. Just this week. Yeah, no, yeah, that made it a little bit challenging. But do you have a website or do you have a Instagram or something that you can also direct? folk too?
Yeah, I do have I have an Instagram that I kind of run a lot of my stuff out of. It's just it actually is it's Lou underscore Reed underscore. I'm getting on kind of making up a website and doing a portfolio in a sense. I think a good way for me starting out at the moment is directing people to my Spotify. That's kind of like where a basis of all my stuff is. My SoundCloud I tend to use as a lot more kind of like a taster. I have a project on there and some other music that I've been working on while working on this project. So I've been busy in some stuff on the background as well, and I've been able to kind of like post that on Instagram and my Facebook while also posting on SoundCloud.
So are you also on Bandcamp as well, or?
I'm not actually at the moment. I'm in the process of getting that sorted.
Oh, right. Okay. So eventually, if people want to buy the tracks, instead of streaming the tracks, that's where they can head to eventually.
Definitely, yeah.
Grab a copy of the EP. So it's Louis, Louis Reed with two E's. We'll put a link to his Instagram site on the in the show notes to this episode. And a link to your Spotify. Did you, we you've got a Spotify account?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, you do. Cool. Sweet. Easy.
Absolutely. It is, isn't it? And it'll be interesting to see if there if you do decide to do it live. That would be fascinating, based on what I've just heard tonight, because I think that would be a bit of a challenge just for you. How do you, as the person pulling it all together with the beats and everything like that, do that in an organic way and bring that to the table? As well as the players playing, that would be fab and interesting.
That would be an amazing process to be able to do, honestly. It would be something really sick.
It would be sick. Yeah, I agree. Just to watch that, yeah, it would be.
You guys are more than welcome to come. Free tickets, I promise.
So
Oh no, no
you're up there
worries.
like a DJ, right? So you're up there trying to go like run all these samples. Like you can obviously improvise and you can, you know, switch things around a bit and make things a bit more interesting in that. But that's it's you on your own, is it? Doing all that, or have you got? Yeah, wow,
No, yeah, so it's pretty much just me.
brilliant.
I think a lot of like the producing side of things, I find I can do it really well by
Yeah,
myself sometimes.
fab.
yeah, the challenge is bringing that experience plus the live performance of it at the same time with the live players. Oof, that'd be a challenge, but pretty cool.
Oh, all with a chai latte to top it off. Yeah. Decent coffee. Gosh. Oh my God. The
Something like
man.
that. Yes. And Coffee Supreme, Midland Park. Fabulous coffee, good entertainment, good chats. Highly recommend it. Yeah. It's been a
Come say
good place.
hello, definitely.
Oh, I'll be down
Absolutely.
there. I'll be down there.
Yeah.
I expect to. Are you gonna have like, I mean, it's probably a bit naff, I suppose, but are you gonna play when you do your release? Are you gonna play your sounds over the
Oh
yeah?
yeah,
You should,
definitely. Yeah.
totally.
I should. Yeah, I will. I've already got people asking me about my playlist, so I can't wait for the music to come out.
Brilliant. Yes, it'll be quite good. Yes. When I listen to it, and I've listened to it a few times now, House of Jazz, I've tended to listen to it as all one piece because I'm kind of like a bit old school. And it's interesting, it doesn't seem to have gaps between the tracks. So it all flows together as one continuous piece, which I quite like.
That's the
Takes you on a
mastering. See, that's the
Yeah,
sequencing and
and
the
it just
spacing.
takes you on a musical journey, which I quite liked. So as one whole piece, it was quite nice to have it together as opposed to, I don't know, dare I say it, if I chopped that up and put it on a playlist with other things, I don't know if it would give you the same effect.
No, I do like that. I like the idea of I'm very old fashioned in the way I make music. So I play it from back to front a lot of times as well. That's how I kind of want my music a lot of
Well,
times to be heard as well.
you're on a podcast where we do like a lot of older artists and buying records and listening to whole things as opposed to chopping and changing. But yeah, we definitely, I would say that's one of our main things, eh, David? We talk a lot
It
about
is.
whole records.
It is. Although when you think about some of the stuff we've reviewed, particularly prog rock, the experimental stuff, where you know you've also got quite dynamic range of musicality coming out. I'm just thinking with the master in here where it sounds very wide, very big, Louis, what you've done here. It's not compressed, it's very expansive. And that stereo widening thing that you get. And I picked up the, you know, really, really good use of echo and reverb in some of those lead instruments. Very clever. And as a result, it's very fresh, very contemporary. And I think it would be absolutely amazing to have it playing at Coffee Supreme. I'm going to be down there. You're doing the 10th, aren't you? That's when you're releasing this. This is the you gotta do it. If you're working there, I'll be down there getting my flat white with one sugar.
I'll remember. Oh, no. Go on.
Yeah. He puts the old sugar in. Oh dear.
I know. Oh. I know. The real baristas hate me. Like, why would you? Yeah. Like, you can't do that. But no. I think this sounds brilliant. I'm really stoked that you've come on the show to share this with us. Thank you very much. Brilliant.
Thank you very much for having me.
Brilliant. Oh,
been our pleasure. Yeah. So let's go out with a bit of Flow, it's the last track on the EP. How about that? Thanks, Louis.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on.